Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to an encore presentation of Living Smart and Well, the best of Inez Bracey. Inez is currently traveling the world, and each week she will keep you up to date on her adventures when she lets you know where in the world is Inez at the beginning of each show. We hope you enjoy this encore presentation of Living Smart and Well. And now, here is Inez Bracey.
Good afternoon. This is Inez with another Where in the World is Inez. It has been another fabulous week, fantabulous week, in Subic Bay, Freeport Zone, Philippines. This week I had a very, very touching experience. I was eating at my regular place where I have gotten to know many of the ladies there, almost all of them who work here, and we just sit around sometimes and chat about anything. The other day while I was eating, they disappeared, which was very unusual, but I didn't really think about it. I just thought they had something to do. And then they started coming out one at a time, and each one was come, stand by my table, say something, and sit down. And four of them altogether came out. And as they're sitting there, the first one says to me, "Do you notice anything about us?" And I looked at them and said, "No, what am I supposed to see?" So she says, "We're all wearing red lipstick." So I started laughing because that was a show of their acceptance of me, because I wear red lipstick all the time. I did not know that people notice that in such a way that they would actually put on red lipstick to show my acceptance. So that was very heartfelt, very touching. So we talked about it, and we laughed about it, and that was one of the highlights of my week this week, because even though I get along with people, I meet people, I talk with people, I don't really think about if they are accepting me, how they're accepting me, what are they thinking about me. I'm always just in the moment enjoying our conversation, being attentive, paying attention, so that the conversation flows. And I'm noticing now that the more that I am in each moment, the more joy that I bring to me and that I bring to others. And it is just fantabulous. The weather here, of course, is warm, very hot, as a matter of fact, getting into the upper 80s. But the humidity hangs around the 60s, so it's not unbearable. The water is beautiful, lovely, lovely, lovely. And this is why I'm here. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/inez.bracey. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, I would really, really appreciate it if you would like us on iTunes. And you can even leave a comment. That would be awesome. Now, create the most fantabulous week you have ever had in your life. I'll be back again next week with another Where in the World is Inez.
Are you ready to pamper yourself with luxury that is within reach? As a loyal listener, you can now get cash back, rebates of up to 30%, and discounts up to 60%. While shopping at over 1,100 of your favorite stores. You deserve it. Let yourself go wild at loveloyaltysuperstore.com, where paying retail price is a thing of the past. I've experienced this fabulous internet savings mall and highly recommend it to you. Be sure to visit loveloyaltysuperstore.com to enjoy shopping in a whole new way. At loveloyaltysuperstore.com.
Welcome to the Inez Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well. I am so delighted that you have decided to join us, because we're going to be celebrating motherhood. I am so delighted to share with you some of the things that brought me joy with my mom. She has since transitioned, and she's been gone now since 2004. But sometimes I still find myself picking up the phone and want to say something wonderful has happened, like when I saw the sandhill cranes. I want to call her and say, "Oh, Ma, think about this, look at this." And I realize, you know, I'll just have to tell her in my mind, and she'll get it. I have some wonderful guests joining me, and I am thrilled that they are here. So I'm going to open, I think this is Juanita McNeil, is this your number?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show. Tell us a little bit about you and why you decided to do the show with me tonight, other than because I asked.
Well, yes, you asked. I always enjoy or delighted when someone wants to talk about mothers or my mother or being a mother. I appreciate that. And, of course, my mother is no longer with us. She's been gone for quite a while now. In fact, she passed away in 1971. But I've missed her. But I always think of her if something exciting happens, as you thought today. And, of course, sometimes when I want to share something sad or seek advice, I think about my mother. You know, what would Mom say? What would she think? And sometimes I share it with her anyway, although I don't always get a response, but I always feel good that I've shared it with her. And so it's exciting for me.
Awesome. Hold, just stay right there. Mo Bailey, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about you, Mo.
Tell you about me. Well, I work a lot with baby boomers like you do and with recognition, points of recognition, just in human nature. Things as we, you know, change as we go through transitions. When you brought up this topic and invited me to be on, it was such good timing because I had just been sitting here. My mother's only been gone for about a year. Not that everybody's mother needs to be gone to benefit from what we're going to discuss. You know, I was just thinking, you know, it's different now that she's gone as far as how I honor her. And I was thinking, what am I going to do this year that's going to feel good to me to honor her? Because it's the second year. The first year was right after she passed, so it was just so fresh, and we were just there with the, had the funeral. It's a little different this year. In some ways, it's a little bit more raw, but I'm excited. It's a real important topic that I think every woman who's been a daughter or a mother can relate to. So I appreciate being part of this. Thank you.
Thank you so much for saying yes, Mo. I appreciate you. And I think I have another caller here, and I believe this is my friend, Daya Debbie Doolin. So, Daya, welcome to the call. Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me. When my mother passed away, like, in 2001, we were coming back from her funeral and burial in Philadelphia, and we were all very much affected. What we did was we started writing and saying silly things, silly poems, silly rhymes that helped pull us up out of our sadness and our grief. And so we eventually put all those silly poems and words and feelings about her into a book called Returning to the Source. And then they're really silly, and we love them. We just were like belly laughing all the way home to Florida from Philly. We thought and feel that they were so funny, and they would make and pick up other people, pick up their vibrations and their feelings from feeling sad about their mom passing.
Oh, so, wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And so back in 1983, I had a dream, and the dream had a song, the chords, the words, everything, and we call it Mama. And that's on one of our CDs.
Guy, you say Chris is on the phone tonight. Chris, you want to say something?
Thanks for having me on here. And what I'm thinking and what I'm hearing while I hear people talking is the idea that I really, truly love and appreciate my mother more and more as I go through experiences in life and as I go through raising my children as well and realizing from a different perspective as I grow and as I mature, I guess you could say. I don't know, my mother just goes higher and higher in stature all the time, so... I think I have a wider awareness, and I hope I keep growing that way, too, and get to the place where I can fully appreciate, you know, more and more what she was to me and still is to me in the sense of the bond that I have.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. And you made a very important point, because I remember when at one age I thought my mother didn't know anything. And now at this age, I think she knew everything. So let's just have a little conversation here. And what I'd like to start off with is talking about some of the things that you remember and how, maybe just one thing that you remember, and you can see how that has impacted you and your life now from your mother. And then I'm just going to put them all up. And the next thing we will talk about, especially with all of you have children, so how has some of the things that your mother did or said impacted you in what you're doing with your children? So let's just get started. Now, I have no children. I am the daughter. I have no children. I have nieces and nephews. So let me just have you start talking first. Juanita, you want to go first?
I had four brothers, and, of course, we lived on a farm. My parents did not go to college, and I never thought of it anything then, and I don't think much of that now, although I know college and education is very important now, and I'm sure it was important then, but we managed without it, and I think we managed well living on a farm and working on the farm. We worked hard. I learned great work ethics from my mother, getting up early, being on time, not being late. Of course, we never thought of talking back. That was just out of the question. Listening, when someone is talking, at the time we were not We were not allowed to interact when grown people were talking and part of a conversation. We had our own time away to talk and play and do whatever. And when time came that we were invited to be a part of the family, it was listening and interacting, more listening than interacting, unless we were asked to do that. So those things I learned and appreciate now with as I had my own daughter and raised her. Of course, we believed in spanking back then. I did, too, in raising her. Listening and looking at the person who's talking to you and not saying anything until that adult has finished talking. There was no interruptions when someone is talking to you. And, of course, as my profession was education, and I expected the same thing in the classroom. I expected that, although I didn't get much of that or as much as I wanted to.
That's wonderful, because listening is important, and even though education is important, I know many of us have parents who were not educated, but they mm-hmm. had this sixth sense that they listened
yes.
to. They listened to their intuition, and they always wanted something better, and they wanted you to be polite. They were into etiquette, so
mm-hmm.
all of those things
mm-hmm.
reeled into it. It's almost like stamped on your DNA, and said when you come right. across a child now who's being rude or disrespectful, it's like, oh, my
right.
God, did the child say that? I cannot believe it. So, yeah, so listening, and thank you so much for sharing that. Mo Bailey,
mm-hmm.
are you still with me?
I am. You know, when my mother passed away, we're Jewish, and before the funeral, the rabbi asked that same question, like, are there any things you learned? Are there any memories? And, you know, for him to help develop his sermon. And the one thing that just really screamed out to me is I always knew my mother loved me. I just always knew it. And there were times I also knew she didn't like me. But she probably had good reason not to at those times. But I even when I knew when we were, and there were times when I didn't like her, I think the thing is, I always knew she loved me. And so even when I was not real fond of her, I never felt like I didn't love her. I just sometimes didn't like her. When she passed away, I wrote an article that related to her passing. And I got so much mail back from that article, more I think than any other article I've ever written. And it's funny because when you invited me to do this today, I sent out an e-blast and I got a few things back. And one of them is a little short, but it's one of those things where I'm going to read it. And it
okay.
just says, thanks for the invite, Mo, but I'll have to pass. My relationship with my mother was never a good one. Being adopted, I'm lucky not to have inherited any of her traits. She was a cold, mean woman. And, you know, that's not the only one like that I've gotten like that. So I feel very lucky and blessed that I had the mother I had, who was not always easy. You know, a lot of times when somebody passes away, we tend to sanctify them, and, you know. And my mom was not always an easy woman. But as she got, you know, but we worked through our stuff. There were some things she did that I, at the time, felt were so horrible. But I, you know, and I realized there were certain traits in her that I had that maybe weren't always all that nice either. But we kind of eventually, as we aged together, were able to talk about that. And I think that's something that I had with her that was really special that I didn't think I ever would have with her. And I initiated it, and yet I expected a different result. And I think in some ways she really wanted somebody to talk to her like that. And her, I don't know, it was just what sometimes was tumultuous turned into something very sweet, especially in the later years because she developed Alzheimer's. It was interesting to see the things that she remembered. Like right now I cherish little things like sitting on, having her, she wanted to see my son. This was when she had Alzheimer's, and I brought her to my house, and I sat her down on the couch, and I went to talk to him. And my mother always hated cats, and I have a cat. And the cat got up next to her, and when we came out and I brought my son out, we were both, our jaws dropped, because she's sitting there petting the cat and saying, who is this? He's so nice. And this just wasn't like my mother, right? And we thought, she forgot she hates cats, you know? Because that was like the Alzheimer's, and we laughed about it, and we kind of, and she didn't know completely what was going on, but it was like, I feel like it was one of those lessons from her that would never have been illuminated.
Okay, that is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Chris and Daya.
I wanted to share a couple of things that came to mind in relation to my mother. One is that my mother was very, in a loving way, but very firm about making sure that her children weren't slackers. So whenever we were slacking, which we tended to want to do as kids, she really made sure that we had a focus and a purpose in what we were doing. For example, during the summertime, we would go out and play all day, but there was also times when she was a former teacher, teacher, and she used to be an English teacher and a typist. She had the whole neighborhood of kids in one of the rooms in our house with cardboard typewriters, you know, not real typewriters, just little cardboard cutouts of typewriters. And she taught the whole neighborhood of kids how to type during the summertime. She introduced me to piano lessons when I was a little boy, which I really loathed because the teacher was very strict, and many years later, a professional musician because of it, really. That was something that she did. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that we really had a strong connection. I remember one time when I was in high school, I was walking home from school, or not from school, but I had been at a meeting, and it was late at night, and a man had started following me down the street. So when I got to the end of my street, I saw this man, and it definitely had some kind of wrong intention, and I ran home. And she was there waiting at the door, and she knew right away. When I walked in the door, she said, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened?" I was sleeping, and I woke up because something wasn't right. So there's really a strong bond there that I wanted to express also. And I'll let Daya talk, too. I don't want to use up all the time.
Thank you so much, Chris. And you know what? We do have those strong bonds with our parents if we just allow that to be a part of it, if we stop resisting and be open and honest to it. Okay, Daya?
A little bit back when we were coming back driving from Philadelphia to Florida, my mother, her spirit was speaking to me. And when she was alive, she never believed in the work that I was doing, which I was doing alternative healing. And Reiki was one of them. She never really believed in it until she maybe saw a TV show about Reiki one time. There were other instances in my life where I was a musician after dropping out of teaching because I heard through God's voice to start playing music. She never understood that until we made a song, that song called Mama, and she started appreciating what Chris and I were doing. And so to get back to driving from Philadelphia, she spoke to me and she said, and I had written this down, and it talked about how she would hope that I forgive her for not understanding that a child could know more than a parent. She always felt like what I knew was less than important than what she knew about life and about God. She apologized for not appreciating how knowledgeable and wise that I was or that I am. And so I put that in the very first portion of my Supervitamized book so that people could see and understand and maybe have some different feeling about themselves and about the parents that have passed on.
That's interesting because now that you were open to receiving that too. So that was another connection, another bond that was established. That was wonderful. Now, let's just talk a little bit about some memories, some joyous memories that you have that you, when you're with your children, you can see that kind of same thing, creating new memories with them based on some that you already have.
A great memory, a few that I remember from my parent, from my mother, and of course continues with my daughter now, is that we used to talk an awful lot with four brothers. She and I became friends. Mother, of course, but we used to share a lot of conversation. It would be about somebody else or an incident or about ourselves. Not to say that I told my mother everything. I didn't. But we would talk about a lot of things together. I was not shy about talking to my mother, and she was not shy about talking to me or sharing things with me. And I do the same thing now with my daughter. We talk about a lot of different things, a lot of issues. We gossip. We gossip then, and we do now with my daughter. We just laughed and talked an awful lot.
So that's great. I love that. I love that.
Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing.
I decided this was a question that maybe I should ask my son because I just went and said, help me out here. Tell me, is there anything that you remember from your grandmother that you feel I've passed on in how we relate? Okay. This is what he said to me.
Well, my mom tends to forget things from time to time. And old time she says something and my Bobby did that and they both have the same caring about other people. I think one big major difference is my mom doesn't seem to pressure me on getting, having grandchildren.
Yeah, my mom was.
Yeah, she always used to come up. She would go up to people in the street and just say, you know what, when you become a grandmother or grandparent, it's going to be the best thing out there. And she tended a lot to pressure us a little bit into actually finding a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
I think it was kind of like almost a joke for her, but she did. She was always looking for mates for everybody. And so I think, yeah, she would say to my son, you know, do you have a girlfriend? What do you do? So that's not, well, I don't know, Inez. I guess you and I talk about that sometimes.
But I mean, they both have the same caring about other people. My mom has a big heart, and my grandmother had a really big heart. My mom had a really close connection with my great-grandmother, who all my dad, Tammy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking of more simple thank you, simple things too, like things that I remember that my mom did that I find myself doing with Dylan is like, if she and I were going to split a sandwich, she would ask me what kind I wanted. It wasn't what she wanted. It was you choose. She gave me certain, I just remember her.
Gaia.
Juanita and I have a little experience that's quite similar with the okra stuff. And my youngest son, Dean, has no idea what okra tastes like. I never would buy it. I never would have bought it. Because of just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I was to eat it, but if you didn't eat, that was, you know, you were hungry for the till the next supper.
Absolutely.
My mom, she would always stand up for us no matter what it was. And that's one of the biggest things I remember that she always did. She would always make sure that we were treated right by other people, anybody. And if anybody said or did anything wrong or, you know, didn't feel right, she would be sure to jump in and take care of us. And one of our songs is called Let Me Explain. Not Too Late is in parentheses. Chris and I both talk about how our parents treated us and what legacies they left us. So in verse 2 and 3, that's what we talk about in the song.
Chris, if you want to say something?
What I was hearing to say was had to do with meals. It seems like a simple thing, but it was really meals were really important to my mother on two aspects. One is that she got good nutrition to her family. I had three brothers and one sister, along with my father, of course. And then the other aspect, which is at least equally, if not more important, was that we spent time together and conversed and talked and found out what each other was doing and just had a relationship. And I think that we, in the modern world that we live in, it's sometimes hard to maintain that focus, but because of the upbringing I had, it's really important to me to do that. So we really focus on nutrition in our eating, and we also focus on spending time together around meals with our family and you know, not all going off. Sometimes we'll do this, but generally we try to be together. We're not, you know, one person's watching TV, another person somewhere else eating. We try to stay together and converse, especially, you know, I think the relationship with parents and children, it doesn't happen in an absentee way. It has to happen face-to-face as much as possible if you can do it.
Awesome. And you know what? You mentioned something very important, Chris. Back in the day, we did come home, sit down at the table, everybody ate together, and we had conversation. And now you're right. So many people are scattered out in different parts of the house or not even in the house. And meals have become something that you put in your body and keep walking, not even thinking about the nutrition. But I do remember that we would all be there, definitely for dinner, always for dinner. And conversation was important. And I think sometimes that's a lost art because we were there together. Having conversations, we got to bond in a way that I think sometimes bonding is missing now because you don't have that time together, that face-to-face time, and to be able to laugh at what we're doing and talk about what we're doing and get advice, too, because if there's more than one in the parents, like with me, there were seven of us and my parents, we got lots of great advice just in talking. It wasn't like, well, let me give you this advice. It wasn't like that. It was in conversation that things would come out that could make a very big impact on us and be with us even today. Have any of you noticed the same thing going on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It makes a difference. Yeah.
Back in the day, during our day, if we were not there at that time to eat, there was no eating. You missed. You didn't have anything to eat. There was not going to go, you're not going to go in the refrigerator and get anything out to eat if you were not there. And sometimes that was the meal that was prepared was the only meal, the only food that was there. So you get there, you eat, or if you're not there, you don't eat because there was nothing else. It was not having all a variety of things and everybody had their own choice and I don't want this, I want pizza, I don't want this, I want hamburger and No. That was not the case. It was whatever was in that pot or the couple pots on the stove at that time that everybody was going to eat if you wanted to eat that night. So that was another reason. Now, I don't have to tell you now what it's like in many homes. Everybody is preparing their own meal whenever, all day, all night, and any time they get ready, I'll come home and do that. So that's the difference now than what it was a long time ago. And, of course, it was much better then. Now you can tell I'm way back on the farm.
Poor. That is different. I was at somebody's house not long ago, and they said, okay, whatever time, 6 or 7 o'clock, I'm shutting down the kitchen. I said, shutting down the kitchen? She said, that's right. After this time, we don't go in there except to get water. That was so amazing to me because I remember when Mama didn't say she shut down the kitchen, but once the dishes were done, you finished eating. That was it. You went back in to get water, but that was it. Amazing. So now let's talk about what we can do with what we know and turn it into not just into our family, but how we can impact the planet with that. Daya.
I don't know if I quite understand you, but from what I do understand, we as a race on this planet need to see other people as ourselves, as important as ourselves, and no one is higher in stature because of what they do or what they haven't done, or less in stature than you because of what they haven't done or have done. Looking at people with the Christ light and seeing everybody is going to do a lot to help change the world.
Chris?
Coming from my mother, I was thinking about after she raised her family, we all moved out and become adults, and my dad had passed on before her. She continued to be of service to the community. She was quite remarkable. She lived into her late 80s. And during that whole time, she would visit nursing homes. She was always helping other seniors who were, you know, sort of the same age as her, but they didn't have the vitality that she did. So she would drive people around. She would go visit them in the hospital. She, you know, always was looking out for other people. So that life of service, I mean, certainly that's really what we really could all do to help each other. I mean, that's really the way, that's really the only way we are going to help each other is if we're of service to each other.
Juanita?
Yes, I agree with Chris that being of service, volunteering, reaching out to people, helping in any way that you possibly can, listening to people, sometimes being a good listener. Sometimes people want you to just listen rather than always telling people what to do or how to do. Sometimes they just want you to hear them out. They have something to say, respecting that. Be less judgmental. I think that's important, too. We often want to judge people and put them in different little categories. We need to back away from that. Sometimes we start to judge before we know the full story of that person and what's going on. So I agree, service.
Well, I see you back with us.
Impact our families and the world. You know, just to recap with my mom, she loved Frank Sinatra. She cut class in high school to go see Frank Sinatra. By the end of her life, she forgot who Frank Sinatra was. And I think one of my lessons with that was if somebody, you know, you want to, I'll use her situation as a metaphor, is sit and listen to Frank Sinatra with her while she knows who he is and can enjoy it and enjoy your company, enjoying something together. Because we never know what tomorrow is going to be like, if somebody's going to be there or not. You know, sometimes in relationships you may feel love towards someone, yet you want them to say it first, or you get caught up in your self-talk and you don't say, I love you. And I think one of the things I've learned is say, I love you when you feel it. If you feel it in that moment, then just say it.
So we have 3 minutes left. What we've talked about is actually honoring our mothers. And when you're listening to this in the archives or you're listening to it live tonight, just think about how you honor your mother this week, because it is Mother's Day weekend coming up. And because of that, that's why I did the show tonight, to see how we honor our mothers. And not only honor your mother, but you honor yourself and your children and your nieces and nephews, and you honor everybody on the planet. And that's what we've been talking about. And about having meals, about being with your children, and creating joyous memories for your children, having a life of service, being less judgmental. And I love that, because so many times we can see somebody and form a judgment right away without ever having heard them say a word. So just by being open to being of service and being open to allowing and understanding that we are all, as Daya said, we're all one race. So if we look at everybody, as Daya was saying, with the Christ light, with the God light, there's no way we can judge, because it's a reflection back on us. Appreciate you, and we will be back next week with the Living Smart and Well show with some other expert guests to talk about giving you tips on how you can significantly change your life if that is what you desire. If you like where you are and there's nothing you want to change, I'm going to tell you it's going to change anyway. So the best thing for you to do, as I see it, is to take charge of the change, be a part of the change, and create the change that you desire. Go out and create a fantabulous week.
Remember to go to LoveLoyaltySuperstore.com, L-O-V-E, LoyaltySuperstore.com today to experience the fun and the joy of shopping from the comfort of your home at 1,100 of your favorite national merchants and receive up to 30% cash rebates and 60% discounts on your purchases at loveloyaltysuperstore.com. Be sure to scroll down and download the Cashback Finder at loveloyaltysuperstore.com.